Let's get some tips from you on some different aspects of slowing down the aging process. Then we'll get into biotechnologies, which is always a fascinating theory and science all to its own. You know, we talked about the leading causes of death. What would you do then? What would you recommend to people to approach each one? Cardiovascular, strokes, cancer, in lung problems, respiratory problems. What approach would you take?
Well, the first approach is education. You need to educate yourself, and you need to become the master of your own healthcare destiny. And that's what we try to do with the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. We try to make educational resources available for physicians, for health professionals, and for the general public, because we live in an information age. The internet is a fantastic tool. If you just avoid the sites that where they're selling something, and that's unfortunately that's a lot of the medical sites.
Sure.
They're selling something, so you have to look at them with a little bit of caution. But if you go to the informational sites that are associated with nonprofit organizations and well-known academic institutions, you can really rely on the information there, and there are many answers. So you need first educate yourself and be a resource for yourself and have your doctor as your partner, not simply as the be-all, end-all, the final arbiter of what your healthcare destiny is going to be, because no one's more concerned about your health, your longevity, your lifespan than you are. That's the first place. The second place is take action. There are treatments for almost every single disease that exists today. There are effective treatments, certainly interventions, absolutely preventive measures that can be had. And so be proactive, search out answers, and do something about it. With regard to heart disease and cancer, we understand these mechanisms. We understand how to prevent them. Antioxidant supplementation, exercise, a healthy diet, making sure that you have not 5 servings of fruits and vegetables, but, maybe more like 10 to 15, is actually protective against cancer to a very significant extent, and to heart disease as well. Just as little as, 15, 20 minutes of brisk walking a day can lower your risk of heart disease and some forms of cancer quite significantly. Certainly can lower your risk of depression. Sunshine is very important for mood. So many people have depression because of seasonal affective disorder. They're not
sure.
Getting enough sunlight.
Right.
Vitamin D is metabolized in the skin as a function of sunlight against the skin. So just getting 10 minutes of sun exposure can make a huge difference in the amount of vitamin D you have in your skin, and that has to do with your bone remineralization and also protection against colon cancer. So there are a lot of natural things that can be done and that don't take a lot of time, but really should be part of your regimen, and you won't do it unless you learn about it. And simply the process of learning changes behavior and leads to a better quality of life and a longer quantity of life.
Well, here's an example. I did an interview with a guest well over a year ago. He's been back a couple times. He has written a book called The Calcium Bomb, based on theories that calcium buildup in the arteries is also with nanobacteria, and that in tandem, the calcium and the nanobacteria harden your arteries and you're a goner. Well, I'm on a program now. I'm the human guinea pig for the show, Dr. Klatz, and I'm taking the antibiotic with EDTA and in some nutraceuticals, and we're going to see what happens. I took a calcification test, and I thought it was pretty high, and I want to get it down dramatically.
A cardiac electron beam.
Yes.
Tomography.
Yes.
So you have a calcium score.
Yep, sure do.
How long has it been since you've...
I did it in October. I've been on the program now for only 2.5 months, but I'd had the calcium test in October.
Yeah, you've got to give it 6 months.
Yeah,
in order
and that was 980. And I think that's high. They say 400's high.
400 is high. How high were you?
980.
Ooh, yeah, when you start pushing 1,000, you really have, you're at high risk.
Yeah, so and, I'm going to get that down.
George.
See, they do that to me all the time.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah, anyway, right. George, if you talk to me off the air when we're done, I'll tell you a few things about that test that you might find interesting, and maybe some other interventions. But you definitely you definitely have lots of reasons to want to intervene in the risk for coronary artery disease. The calcium index is a very good prognostic indicator, and if you're that high, there are an awful lot of things you can do to interrupt it, and you should.
And it's a simple test.
Yeah, it's a simple test, and the interventions are simple, and it could make the difference of an extra 10 years or more of youthful productive lifespan.
Absolutely.
Certainly, not getting your first heart attack is anti-aging.
That's true. I'll call you tomorrow.
Great.
Okay, we'll do that. But anyways, I'm going to give the results as we go along. I'm going to get another test in about 3 months or so, and I'm going to give people my results and
I'm curious as well, because I've been following the research on nanobacteria, and I've been following chelation research for some time, and it looks like there might be something to it. But there's nothing better than a test study. You know, one good experiment is worth more than 1,000 theories.
Absolutely. You know, the National Institute for Health is conducting a 5-year chelation study, and they're 60% of the way into it. The problem is, they're not combating what the new researchers are saying, and that is it's nanobacteria, and you've got to kill that, or the chelation alone is not going to solve the problem. This test that they're taking with 2,000 subjects is only based on chelation only. So the researchers I've talked to, the ones who believe in the nanobacteria theory, say the results are going to be skewed. They're going to come out and say chelation doesn't work, and that's going to put a real black mark on things that they're starting to do.
You see, that's the problem with chelation therapy, is that it's been around for an awful long time, and it works for a lot of people, but doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
And we didn't understand why. And it may simply be these people with nanobacteria may be onto something. It may be that some people have active nanobacteria infections, and if you don't get rid of the nanobacteria, all the chelation in the world isn't going to do the job. But it's one of those multifactorial problems that you have to look at all the different factors, not just one, in order to understand the problem.